What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Thursday, May 26th. Big weekend coming up. I love Memorial Day. Memorial Day. Clear. You know, we did this, we did a top five holidays list during a mailbag episode during the season. It's definitely a top five holiday. So,
what'd you forget? Memorial Day or Labor Day?
I think I forgot Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Your favorite holiday you forgot.
Labor Day to me is, it's, I don't know if it's top five, it's top 10. It's good. But we don't get to
usually enjoy Labor Day.
Yeah, we do.
No, well,
no,
you might.
Don't. You, you're right.
Well, what are you doing on Labor Day? It's before the season. It's
cut down day.
You're ready for the season.
You got to start turning over your rankings.
Starts at week one on Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. There's no starts at week one. You start everyone you drafted as a start. I'll save you time. I'll write starts at week one for you.
Okay, good. There it is.
That's on the record.
There you go.
Congratulations. Would you like to write the cheat sheet as well?
As long as I can put your names on it, absolutely. I'll write it.
No. It's your name. There you go.
Yeah. How about start, sit, sleepers, bus?
Let's just look at our jobs. You go away. I host for you, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you owe me one. There you go.
I'll do you one better. I'll even find thumbnails for you, Adam.
Oh, thank you. I'll gladly host the video show for you when you're away.
He's never away.
Yeah, he never. And I don't go away during the season for the record.
Wait, please.
I've never gone away during the season ever.
You probably have, but not for reasons that you've wanted to.
Gone away? Taking a day off would be one thing, but like I've never gone on a trip.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, what's on today's show? It's a mailbag. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Going to read your tweets. Going to see if we have new Apple Podcast questions. I know if you wrote in an Apple Podcast review and you're looking for it today, I read a few on Monday or Tuesday show, so check that out. I want to talk a little bit about Stephon Diggs. We had a Cup versus Jefferson versus Chase debate. Why not Stephon Diggs? Could he finish as the number one wide receiver? He hasn't yet. He was close in 2020. He was actually number 10 per game in 2021. And how about in the playoffs? Do you guys remember how bad he was in the playoffs? Two games in which Josh Allen threw for 637 yards and 9 touchdowns. And Stephon Diggs had 67 yards on 10
targets.
That's
because Gabriel Davis caught everything.
In one game, he did. He didn't in the first game. But yeah, we'll talk about Diggs. I'll give you some upside questions. And Nyheim Hines, Frank Reich is going to draft him in fantasy. Let's get started here, guys. Here we go. Why not Stephon Diggs? Where's he in your rankings? Is he 4? And does he have wide receiver one potential, like true wide receiver one realistic outcome, you think, for Stephon Diggs, Dave?
He does. Any receiver that has 160 target upside, and he's hit that mark each of the last two seasons, has wide receiver one overall potential. It's just a matter of him coming through on a boatload of touchdowns. I'd like to see more of that. I think the Bills are the perfect offense to be in right now if you're a wide receiver, especially one that's got some speed and certainly some elusiveness. Diggs is a master craftsman when it comes to route running, finding ways to get open, and he can still beat defenses deep if he wanted to. I'm totally comfortable with him as a number, as a, forget number one. I think everybody's comfortable with that. Very comfortable with him as a top four fantasy wide receiver.
We've had this conversation a lot because of the show we did with the top three guys, you know, comparing Cup to Jefferson to Chase. Mm-hmm. He kind of feels like the bridge receiver to the next tier. You know, not that he, and I agree with Dave, he can be number one. The funny thing is that, you know, you say he could score a boatload of touchdowns. His touchdowns went up from his breakout season in 2020 to 2021, mm-hmm.
Yep.
From 8 to 10.
Yep.
And his, you know, catches and his yards went down. I think the thing that's going to be very interesting for the Bills is that you're taking away two guys, but really one, you know, because Emmanuel Sanders didn't really do it a lot last year, but you're taking away Cole Beasley and what he's meant to Josh Allen. And you're asking Jamison Crowder, who we know has a hard time staying healthy, to fill that role, Khalil Shakir to fill that role. I've said this many times this offseason since the draft, that I feel like this Bills offense is going to be much, not much different, but have a little different wrinkles to it for several reasons. One, Brian Daboll is gone, so Ken Dorsey will have his influence on the team as a new coordinator. But there's just different things to this offense. They have a second tight end that's capable of making plays in O.J. Howard. They have two pass-catching backs, one in particular being James Cook. I think Duke Johnson could do some of those things, but we clearly have seen what their goal is this offseason, bringing in J.D. McKissick, bringing in James Cook. They want to have something different to this team, to this offense. And so you also have, you know, guys that could play inside and outside. Diggs can play inside. He's done that in Minnesota. Shakir, I think, could play inside. Obviously, Crowder could play inside. And the maturation process just of what Gabriel Davis will become, you know, so there's a chance that Diggs could have a little bit of regression as well. But I think you just look at it as what those top three guys have, I think just a natural advantage over him of what they do down the field. Chase in particular, obviously Jefferson. Cup is kind of like a supersized or an enhanced version of what Stephon Diggs, you know, I think has been at his best, you know, Cup's best versus Diggs' best, you know, the last two seasons. But then you start to compare him to the guys that are behind him, you know, Devontae Adams, new team, CeeDee Lamb, new role, Tyreek Hill, new team, you know, just, you kind of get to that group and Diggs just feels better than those guys in that group, you know, at least to me. So, I think Diggs is a very safe back end round one if you want to go wide receiver, certainly early round two. He should be a top 15 overall selection. And, you know, you just feel good about what you're getting in Stephon Diggs if he's able to stay healthy.
Yeah, I wonder why he didn't really do that well last year. You know, in 2020, he had, including the playoffs, played three playoff games. In 2021, he played two playoff games. But, and I'm talking about the 2021 season. I know the games were played in 2022, but you get the point. Stephon Diggs went from 12 games with 90 or more yards to, I want to say, three. Let's see. Yeah, so he had 12 games in 2020, and he had only two games all season in 2021 with more than 90 yards, with more than 89 yards technically. So yeah, that was really weird, Dave. I don't know why. I don't know why he struggled so much down the stretch. I know Josh Allen, actually, it's a little bit under the radar because he finished as the number one QB, but Josh Allen took a pretty severe step back in his efficiency, and he was 10th in passing yards per game. So he wasn't, you know, he wasn't Matthew Stafford. He wasn't throwing for 5,000 yards, threw for 4,400 yards. But yeah, I mean, any theory, any concerns about the performance of Stephon Diggs? Quite frankly, for a guy who had 164 targets, it wasn't great. He wasn't great per target. He had his second lowest per target rate of his career last year. His catch rate plummeted.
That was a huge thing.
Any performance concerns? Do you think it was just fluky, could easily bounce back?
Let's talk about one of the stats that we discussed with Jacob Gibbs on Wednesday's show, air yards per target. And so, I'm sorry, that's also average depth of target. Exact A-dot. Same thing.
Yeah.
So the A dot in 2020 was 10.08. Making sure I'm reading that right. I am. So pretty high, not bad. Caught over 70% of his targets that year. Last year went up just a little bit. It went up 11.2. So that means, in theory, that he was getting more downfield passes from Josh Allen. You talked about Allen's efficiency falling off. I wonder what his passing A dot was from 2020 versus 2021. Do they reel that in this year to fuel that efficiency again for Stephon Diggs? Because in 2021, the A dot was 11.2. The catch rate fell to 62.4. Yards per target, that doesn't matter to me. Yards per route run, 1.9. which is still pretty good. That was in 2021, but in 2020, yards per target, I'm sorry, yards per run, I don't know why I keep doing that, 2.5, that's elite. So I think that might be what we need to see from Stephon Diggs. It's just lower the amount of deep targets that he gets, that might go to Gabe Davis now. But let that offense kind of run on Diggs running short and intermediate routes more so than the long stuff.
There's something that Mike McCoy once told me at an owner's meeting when he was the coach of the Chargers, and it goes back to, you brought this up, Adam, in regards to Keenan Allen's rookie season versus his second season with Malcolm Floyd coming back, mm-hmm. that sometimes guys, when they have to be the one, the target on their back changes. And Diggs clearly has been a one, but he was in Minnesota. He was, you know, the one in the 1A. You know, you could, we had this conversation with him at in Miami at the Super Bowl, if you guys remember when he was on show with us on HQ.
You're about,
you know,
right next to me.
Which week is you, which week is Thielen. You know, do you guys ever know who's getting more targets, blah, blah, blah. And so he goes to Buffalo. He has this big breakout season, and now all the attention is going to him. And so, you know, it's the same target volume, essentially. Now there's one more game in there, you know, so 164 versus 167 over, you know, the additional game, but still target volume same, but he's doing it now with just extra attention on him. And so, you know, we could probably sit here and break down the quality of throws and all these things if we had, you know, 10 hours of a Stephon Diggs podcast. But I think just, you know, the overall thing is that now he has to adjust to defenses adjusting to him, you know, and I think he will. I think the Bills will. I think Josh Allen will. I think, you know, their offseason has kind of told you where they think of these guys, specifically of Stephon Diggs. They let Beasley walk. They let Sanders walk. They trust Davis. That's clearly a big part of this. They go out and they get a Crowder, which is kind of a band-aid. You know, he's not necessarily a difference-making type of guy. He's basically, at best, a poor man's Cole Beasley because Beasley was so successful for them. But they're doing it in other ways. But clearly they pay Stephon Diggs. They didn't have to. You know, they gave him the contract extension. They still believe at 28 he's going to be a difference-maker. And obviously fantasy managers should as well.
It's very, very different, but 8.4 to 8.2 was actually 8.5 to 8.2, Josh Allen's passing ADOT. So it was up just a little bit. It wasn't as crazy.
He's evolving. I mean, that's the thing. He's evolving as a quarterback. He's evolving as a leader. Diggs has to evolve as a receiver, you know, mm-hmm. to be an alpha, you know, because look, he went from being in that group of very good wide receiver to superstar. And now, okay, how do you maintain being a superstar? And so he took a step back last year. You know, I think if you probably asked him, he would say things changed for him. You know, just coverage changed for him, attention changed for him, production changed for him. Now how does he adjust? And just from the conversation, you know, I've talked to him several times, you know, just in various shows that we've done where he's been guest for us. He's going to adjust. He's going to make the differences and be very good at adjusting to what defenses have thrown at him and what the Bills are going to ask him to do. I feel very confident in that.
Okay, I just want to say one thing here. The rise in ADOT, Dave, and PFF has it basically at 10.1 to 11.1. That does not, and that's almost exactly what you were saying, a little slightly different, but that does not account for this precipitous drop in catch rate. It doesn't explain everything. To go from 76.5% to 62.8%, 1 yard in ADOT will not have that big of an impact. And you could just go back to 2019, his last year in Minnesota, his ADOT was 14.9. That's insane. And he still caught 67% of his passes. So I just did some quick math.
You're saying Kirk Cousins is better than Josh Allen?
I'm saying that the catch rate was inexplicably low last year. And if it were just 68%, you know, Heath does this, his career rate's 69%. Let's say it was 68% last year instead of 63%. And remember, it was 76.5% in 2020, which was an outlier. We couldn't have expected that to repeat. But if it was just 68%, he would have had 103 more yards. And who knows, maybe another touchdown or two if he's catching some more passes. But he would have had 103 more yards. He would have had about 1,330 yards, which just looks a lot better than 1,225. So I think you should definitely expect the catch rate to go up because it just
The thing you're hoping for is, look, he's averaged 9 touchdowns a season in 2 years in Buffalo. So that's probably safe, 8+. You know, you're probably looking at, you know, north of 1,300 yards if he's healthy. And he's 100 catches. You know, that to me feels like what you're buying with Stephon Diggs. And anything over that, you should be thrilled.
But, yeah, but he'd still, I think we all could acknowledge, as long as he's getting all those targets, and it's 2 years in a row, as Dave said, 160+, there's no reason why he can't have that 15-touchdown season. Right? I mean, it could happen.
You know, what they do in the red zone with Josh Allen and he runs, you know, so
he still throws 35 touchdowns.
I'm just saying there are things, there are other players in this offense that are going to command the ball.
Sure, but Diggs, right. I'm not projecting 15 touchdowns for him, but He's led the team in red zone targets two straight years. He's led the team in green zone targets by a mile. Last year, he had 18 targets inside the 10-yard line. Second most was Dawson Knox at 10. He, you know, I love him because he's got such a big role, and it's easy to see him having that outlier season, you know? Where the type, I'm not projecting 15 touchdowns, but if you're going to make a short list of players who could catch it, he'd be on it, no? Who could catch 15 touchdowns? He'd be on that list. To have that, no,
he,
why not?
He's done it before. He just had a career high 10.
I know, but most guys who get there haven't done it before. You know,
but they also don't do it when they're turning 29.
Okay, I guess I just see Josh Allen's going to throw 35 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs is going to have 160 targets.
He could obviously do it. I don't know if he'd be on the short list though.
Okay, give me your short list. 15 touchdown potential.
Cobb, Jefferson, Chase. There's the list. Evans.
Okay.
Robbie Anderson.
Best shape of his life. All right, let's move on here and tell you about our schedule for next week. It's bold prediction week. We're going to have bold predictions for Dave, for Jamie, for Heath. Am I doing it too? I guess I have to ask Schrager. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We don't have a show on Monday because it is Memorial Day, so enjoy your barbecue. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll have bold predictions for you. Let's go to what Dave has called the BS list, the best shape list, best shape of his life, best shape of his career. Mac Jones is on there. Amari Rodgers is on there. Ezekiel Elliott's on there. Welcome, Robbie Anderson. His coach, Matt Rhule, said he's not at OTAs, but we know he's going to be in the best shape of his career or the best shape of his life.
That's different, though. We know he's going to be versus he is. You can't put him on the list.
He's on the list.
Nope.
If Matt Rhule says that we know that he's on the list.
You have to see it. You have to see it.
Maybe they Zoom.
Maybe they
don't talk about OTAs. You can't go on the list. I'm sorry. He's banned.
Dave, what do you think? Can we keep him on the list?
He's on the IBS. Invisible BS list. Because
you have to be in present with your team to be called on in the best shape of your life. I'm sorry. He's not on the list.
Why do you have to be there to be in good shape?
Who's seen him?
Matt Rhule knows.
How do you know?
He knows him. He just
says, I know he's going to be.
The IBS list is very funny, so he could be on that.
I was trying to think of a word that started with C.
Oh,
Jamie, help me out here.
Could be
CBBS.
All right, let's do some upside talk here. I'm going to give you a group of players being drafted in the same range.
By the way, IBS, not really funny.
Lamar Jackson, not at OTAs.
Great shape, though.
Yeah. Harbaugh's like, yeah, he's got a belly now. He's been eating Cheetos on his couch.
Are you ready for the upside talk? Give you three players at the same position going in the same range and average draft position. Tell me who has the most upside. We can do it quickly here. Most upside, Travis Etienne, Elijah Mitchell, J.K. Dobbins.
Mitchell.
In PPR?
You can give separate answers.
PPR, it's Etienne. 9.5 PPR, it's Dobbins.
Oh, not Mitchell at all.
No.
Dave, defend your man.
If he manages to stay healthy for the majority of the year, he's in the right offense to go off. We've already seen it from him. He's had some huge games. He's a what guy?
Too many guys in that offense now.
Oh, yeah, because Baltimore has no one there to go with J.K. Dobbins.
No, but J.K. Dobbins and Elijah Mitchell are not in the same conversation as players.
I agree 100%. But as you know better than anybody, opportunity means more than talent when it comes to fantasy football. And there should be more opportunity.
The Ravens will give J.K. Dobbins as much opportunity, if not more, than the 49ers will give to Elijah Mitchell.
I think there's obviously a chance that could happen because Mitchell has proven to be unhealthy. We don't even know if Dobbins is healthy at this point. And when he does come back, I am certain that's fair. I'm certain that Dobbins will share with somebody, whether it's Gus, Tyler Beatty, Mike Davis, really? But Lamar Jackson's certainly going to be somebody that takes work away from him.
Well, so will Trey Lance and Debo Samuel and Tyrion
Debo,
Davis.
Debo, I bet, does not take much. Lance will. I bet Debo doesn't. I don't think Debo's going
to
keep playing that running back role.
After
all the stink he caused this offseason, I bet he doesn't do that much. I'm taking Mitchell first.
That's a good debate. All right, let's go to our next one. Most upside, Marquise Brown, Mike Williams, Jerry Jeudy. Marquise Brown, Mike Williams, Jerry Jeudy.
Jeudy.
Brown.
Jamie, give me quick reason why you said Judy over Brown.
I mean, Judy is the unknown because he could clearly be the best weapon for Russell Wilson. And, you know, we finally see a quarterback unlock what was expected to be a superstar coming into the NFL from what he showed us in college. Brown has a 6-game advantage over the guy that is going to maybe take that role away from him in DeAndre Hopkins. And Mike Williams isn't the number one receiver on his team. So if Judy becomes this guy for Russell Wilson, he's going to probably obliterate these two if things go, hopefully, what will be according to plan.
You can't complain about Elijah Mitchell sharing carries when Jerry Judy's sharing the field with Sutton and Tim Patrick and Albert.
These guys are not sharing the field with other players.
What do you mean they're not sharing the field with other players?
I mean, Marquise Brown is sharing eventually with DeAndre Hopkins, with Zach Ertz, with Rondale Moore, with James Conner.
That's true. I mean, they all have competition. That's true, but I think Brown's a different type of guy compared to all those other pass catchers in Arizona now. And I think he's absolutely in the right offense. We can take his efficiency metrics in Baltimore and apply it to an offense in Arizona that should throw the ball more. We know that he's got a connection with Kyler Murray. They've already been working out this offseason. They've been friends for years. You're right about the advantage. There's always the chance that DeAndre Hopkins comes back and isn't the Hopkins of old, which means that Brown's going to continue to be the top receiver in Arizona's offense. I think he's a good fit there. I think he's got the most upside of these three.
He could. I just take Judy's unknown potential because I think he'll be better than both those guys.
All right.
A year ago, I would have agreed 100%. I just, I don't know with Jerry and Judy now.
You're taking a year of Jerry Judy with Drew Locke and
I'm taking Bridgewater 2 years of Jerry Judy not being able to put it all together. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it is fair. He hasn't really done anything. In his
career. Of course he hasn't done it yet. That's the point.
Yeah.
We're talking upside.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, just because you're taking upside doesn't mean that you have to take someone who hasn't done it. I mean, they're kind of different. You could be very accomplished and have a lot of upside.
Well, right? I think Marquise Brown's going to be awesome. I just think Jerry Judy has the highest ceiling of this trio.
Okay. All right, most upside, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady.
I'll take Russ.
Wilson, Prescott, Brady.
Yeah. I think I could make the case for all three. I think as things stand now, Russ makes the most sense. All you right. know what the deal is with both Dak and Brady. If they get their guys back and they're healthy, then absolutely they've got a chance to outperform Russell Wilson. Wilson's guys are healthy now.
Yeah. Okay. Wilson it is. Most upside, Pitts, Waller, Kittle.
It's got to be Pitts.
Yeah.
Does it, though?
Like, I can't even make the case. I can't even pretend to make the case for Waller or Kittle.
I can.
And it would be Waller over Kittle.
I mean, make the case.
Waller and Kittle certainly can be what they've been at their peak. You know, Trey Lance may be the thing that George Kittle needs to get to that 10-touchdown mark, you know, which we've seen him, you know, struggle with in terms of getting over 5 barely. Waller may have no coverage based on what we have surrounding him compared to what he's been, where everybody's tried to focus their attention on him. But Pitts, clearly, if he, you know, can find the end zone anything more than, I don't know, one, you know, based on a 1,000-yard rookie campaign, can be phenomenal. So it feels as if Waller and Kittle might be, and I stress that heavily, might be trending in the wrong direction, which is, you know, to say they've been at such elite heights. Whereas Pitts hopefully is trending in the other direction because we haven't seen it from him yet consistently.
Do you think Pitts can average 66 yards per game?
If he doesn't, then that's a shame.
Agreed. I think he can, and that would be 10% more than what he did last year, which means he's an 1,100-yard pass catcher, sure to score more than one touchdown. Even with Mariota / Ritter at quarterback.
Yeah, just the argument for Waller. I wouldn't make the argument for Kittle, I guess, except other than that he's done it. You know, he's awesome. But Derek Carr threw for 4,800 yards last year. He was sixth in the NFL in passing yards per game. If he's going to throw, let's say he throws for 4,600 yards, what's Mariota going to throw for? What's the Falcons offense going to throw for? You know, 36? So that's just, I guess, the argument for Waller having
it could be a 4,000-yard passing team.
Yeah, maybe.
With 2,000 of that going to Pitts.
That'd be great. Okay, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we have a few news items, and then we'll get into your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and your tweets if you have any of those. I'm going to check Twitter. And if you have any in YouTube, I'll tell you when. We'll wait till the end of the show. We'll do the YouTube comments. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Some news and notes. Just a little slight change in the IR rules. As of, you know, last year, players on IR needed to miss a minimum of 3 games. Now players on IR need to miss a minimum of 4 games. And you should.
And there's a limit to how many can come back.
But it's 8, right?
8. I believe last year was unlimited. This year, teams can only bring back 8 players from IR. That includes, like in the case of a player that goes on IR twice, and they bring him back twice, that counts 2 times, not 1.
Frank Reich says he would consider drafting Nyheim Hines if he were a fantasy manager. Nyheim Hines is currently going 138th overall. Who would you guys take, James Cook or Nyheim Hines?
Hines.
Hines at cost. I've said this time and time again. I spoke to their office coordinator. I spoke to their running backs coach. They are going to use Nyheim Hines probably more so than they ever have, which says a lot based on where he was a couple of years ago. I mean, Matt Ryan's a perfect quarterback for him. It's the same things like Phillip Rivers was a perfect quarterback for him. I don't know at what expense it's going to come to Jonathan Taylor's reception total from a year ago, but you should probably expect, you know, 5 to 10 less potentially just because Nyheim Hines has that upside to be in this role. Don't worry about the additions of Phillip Lindsay and Tyson Williams. I don't think that impacts Nyheim Hines at all. And so PPR, he's got the ability to be your flex week in, week out.
And Curtis Samuel says he feels good. A completely lost year for him last season. Do you think Curtis Samuel is worth a late round flyer over some of the Jalen Tolbert? Would you rather have Curtis Samuel of Washington or Jalen Tolbert, rookie receiver for the Cowboys?
Tolbert as of now.
I would take the chance on Tolbert as well, but I think Samuel, if you recall, his last year in Carolina was a poor man's Deebo Samuel and Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, so that was, I think, the intention of this Washington offense, to use him in that regard. It's another, you know, potential downgrade to, you know, Antonio Gibson and maybe even J.D. McKissic if he's healthy, because if he gets any snaps in the backfield and has success with them, they'll probably use him more in that way. But I mean, look, he's had one decent season of production, and the rest has just been injury prone and just a lack of contributing. So, you know, you kind of know what you're getting, Curtis Samuel. I hope he plays well. I was hopeful for him last year, but just feels tough to trust.
All right, ready for some emails. Here we go. Again, the email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That is the letter I. We really appreciate all the emails. We have a lot of them. I wish I could read all of them, but we're getting a lot, which is obviously good, and we appreciate that. Not going to complain, but I'm sorry I can't get to everything. I do respond to some of them just, you know, if I have time. So, and I have time, but. Yeah, so if I don't read them, there's a good chance I'll respond. By the way, the reason why I don't have time these days is because I'm just so riveted by these NBA playoffs. Another barn burner last night. Great stuff. This one is from Jeff from the HQ City of Funko, the company that makes those ubiquitous pop figurines. You guys have any Funkos?
My son has one of a White Castle burger.
Okay.
So that just tells you what they're making Funkos of these days.
Dear Joe, Roger, Dwight, and Jerry.
Those are Niners.
They sure are. How badly is Week 9 going to stink for fantasy this year? In one of my Dynasty Superflex leagues, all 3 of my startable quarterbacks are on bye that week. Prescott, Watson, and Wilson. I have 2 first-round rookie picks in that league, so I guess I could just draft Kenny Pickett. Oh, no, wait! Pittsburgh is also on a bye. There is some serious fantasy weaponry sitting in Week 9. Might this be one year where, during redrafts, we do have to pay attention to bye weeks, specifically Week 9, and to a lesser extent, Week 14?
you should always pay attention to bye weeks. If you don't, you're giving up a slight edge in your draft. I don't think it should be the decision maker for you. But when you're looking, if you're debating between two backup quarterbacks or, you know, a backup at a different position, and you think they're equal, you check the bye weeks. One's got the bye week of the starter on your team, probably lean toward the other guy. You should do that every year. And if you think week 9 is going to be bad, just wait till week 14.
Yeah, he mentioned
if you already have
teams,
these situations, though, because this is a dynasty roster and people that have their rosters for the most part set, just know that you're going to probably end up punting a week. You know, you never want to go on thinking that, but you don't have a choice at this point. You know, you're not going to plan on starting player X or drafting player X because you just need him for week 9. Draft the best players can help your roster for the long term in your rookie draft. Don't worry about week 9.
I'm looking at a website that gives the bye weeks, and week 9, it says Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Denver, Dallas, New York, and San Francisco. Week 10 is New England, New York, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. Probably want to be a little bit more specific with the New York. The Giants are the week 9 bye. The Jets are week 10. Week 14 also has 6 teams on bye. The Colts, Washington, Chicago, Green Bay, Atlanta, and New Orleans. Okay, next question from Antonio. Hey, Dave, Rick, Hunter, and Randy. Come on, Dave. Come on,
Rick,
Dave.
Hunter and wrestlers.
That's Randy Orton, Hunter, and Triple H.
Yeah.
Dave. Oh, yeah. They were Evolution.
Dave, come on. Jamie,
sorry. I didn't mean to let you down.
Yeah. Is it crazy to have the mindset that A.J. Dillon is all but assuredly going to lead Green Bay in carries and rushing yards? It feels like with the way their offense is shaping up to be this year, Jones will be used as a receiver by sheer team need, and A.J. Dillon will soak up most of the carries.
I don't know if that's going to definitely happen. I think it's definite that Jones will lead that backfield in catches, and I think it's possible that Dillon leads the way in carries, but it might not be by as much as you think. I don't think they're about to convert Aaron Jones into a full-time receiver. So I don't necessarily agree.
Okay,
I would say it's a 60-40 edge in carries for Dillon.
He's a tough one for me in drafts.
You know, I just want to get one of them.
Yeah, it's pretty valuable. He's going 70th. That would be a no-brainer for me, 70th.
Yes.
Feel like I've seen him go earlier in our drafts, more like 50 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if you're expecting him to...
No, more like 60, I guess. Yeah.
To do what he did at the end of the season in terms of his carries, and he could lead them in touchdowns, he's also an injury away from being a top-5 guy.
Right.
Yep. And they have the 3rd easiest projected strength of schedule, according to me.
Okay. All right, next question. That's A.J. Dillon we were talking about. Thank you for the question, Antonio. This Dillon. Is from Matthew. Dillon, you guys were talking about Alan Lazard yesterday like he's the Packers' number one wide receiver. I don't know. I don't know when this was written. But he isn't even under contract currently with the team. He's a restricted free agent, hasn't signed his tender, so he possibly could not even be with the team. That's as of right now, just FYI.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He will be with the team. He doesn't really have any options, but he hasn't signed his contract. Does that matter at all for Alan Lazard?
No.
Okay.
Unless he's going to hold out, which would be the dumbest decision in the history of football contract decisions by a guy who's a year away from being an unrestricted free agent.
All right, Dave, where is John from? And there's no H in it, if that helps. Just J-O-N.
John's from Boynton Beach, Florida.
Do a show. He wants us to do an entire episode. We'll just do a segment. Do a show about how third wide receivers on great offenses are becoming the equivalent to the lottery backup running back. Tim Patrick, Van Jefferson, Tyler Boyd, Jalen Tolbert, KJ Osborne, Russell Gage. Are these the lottery tickets that those backup running backs are?
No.
Not quite. But I get where he's coming from. Offenses that pass so much that even the third receiver has some merit in fantasy and potential to be a number two receiver. Now, in case somebody gets hurt, think about Godwin and Russell Gage in Tampa, for example. If Godwin's not ready to go for the start of the year, Gage is going to be the number two receiver, someone that can get you off to a hot start. And the way that they throw in Tampa, or at least the way that they have thrown in Tampa, it would suggest that Gage could be in line for 6+ targets from game to game. That's not bad. So I get where he's coming from with that, but I'd still rather have the running back. And one of the reasons why is because I know that I can find receivers that are similar to the Russell Gages of the world week to week on the waiver wire, unless it's just a crazy deep league.
Next question is from James. Dear Lion, Tin Man, Scarecrow, Dorothy, and Toto. And he's going to tell us later on in the email which Wizard of Oz character each of us are. This year in my PPR league, we're transitioning to a keeper league for the first time. I can keep up to 3 players for 3 years with a 2-round penalty per year. For example, I drafted Michael Thomas in the 7th round last year. I can keep him in the 5th this year, the 3rd the following year, and the 1st the year after that. Help me pick 3 from the following. All right, 3rd round, Deontay Johnson and T. Higgins. So I guess he'd only be able to keep them for 2 years, and next year they'd be 1st-round picks. So Deontay Johnson and T. Higgins in the 3rd, Michael Thomas in the 5th, Mike Williams, A.J. Dillon in the 6th, Tony Pollard in the 7th, Elijah Moore in the 9th, Rashad Penny in the 12th, J.K. Dobbins in the 13th. That's the easy one. J.K. Mm-hmm. Dobbins in the 13th. We need 2 more.
I like those 6th round guys.
Mike Williams, A.J. Dillon.
I like them.
You don't have to keep the pair, right? Just one in each round?
Yeah, yeah. You could just keep 3 in total.
Oh, that's true. So, like, that means he's got to keep them. If he keeps 2 in the 6th, does that mean he has to give up 1 in the 5th instead? Unless he's got 2 6-round picks?
I don't know.
I would keep Dobbins, Dillon, and Higgins and not worry about next year.
What about Elijah Moore in the 9th?
It's interesting.
As opposed to Higgins.
10-team league or 12-team league?
It's a 10-team league. I have no idea.
He didn't say.
No,
he it's didn't 2 say. Receiver and 1 flex.
Yeah, I would keep Higgins.
The values go up every year.
Dobbins and Dillon, and I'm not worried about 2023 because there's really nothing great in terms of where these guys are next year unless something happened. Dobbins notwithstanding, but.
Yeah. I think the 2 that could be would be Pollard in the 7th
right.
and Elijah Moore in the 9th.
So you forecast it a little bit. What's more likely to happen? Elijah Moore being a consistent 7th round or better pick next year, or Tony Pollard being a consistent 5th round or better pick next year?
I mean, if Pollard is the lead running back for the Cowboys, that's the guy you'd want. But
it's
I'm
a
still no-brainer. Trying to win now. So.
Oh, man.
Well, I still think you've got a good chance to win now if you're keeping Dillon and Dobbins. I mean, your running backs are set.
Yeah, but I don't want to give up Higgins when everybody else is keeping three players and probably the top receivers are gone.
Okay, it's tough. It's a tough call. So Dobbins and Dillon, we agree.
I mean,
on.
If you really feel that strongly about where Pollard can become, then just don't keep Dillon because you're getting around better value on it, and Pollard could be just as good as Dillon next year, if not better.
Right, but Dillon could also be that guy, and you can almost see that happening.
Hmm. I certainly see more of a fade for Ezekiel Elliott than I do for Aaron Jones.
And contracts are different, right?
Yes. Zeke is gone after next year.
Yeah. Okay. P.S. Dave is the Cowardly Lion. Keith is the Tin Man because the way he treats Adam shows he has no heart. Jamie is the Scarecrow because graduating from Florida proves nothing. Nice. Adam is Dorothy because he likes to sing and seems lost half the time.
Oh, no.
And Ben is Toto because he isn't a main character, but everyone still loves him and pats him on the head.
That's fine.
Did Toto run away and never come back?
No, I don't think so. She didn't lose Toto.
Okay,
I can't watch that movie.
I don't know Ben's Toto.
Unwatchable. It's so boring.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I appreciate it. It's a place
of
history.
Do your kids watch it all the time?
No.
My kids watched it every day. And my mom tells me that I watched it every day.
My nephew was a Tin Man at Loggers Run Middle School, and he was great. It was. They did it in an hour, and they cut down like all the frivolous stuff. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. If they'd done it in 20 minutes, it would have been better. All right, this is from Solinar. Dear Hans, Carl, Theo, and Anthony. Anthony? I don't remember an Anthony. But that's diehard. I'm in a 12-team PPR Superflex League where all touchdowns are worth 6 points, and we do not have to start a tight end. I won the toilet bowl last year. I can pick my draft slot. Where should I draft? It is super flex. It's PPR. Don't have to draft a tight end. He's thinking 3rd overall to take either Josh Allen or Christian McCaffrey. What do you guys think?
Are you sure you're going to get Josh Allen at three? I don't want to pick three for McCaffrey. And I kind of want to make sure that I've got Josh Allen on my team in a super flex. I kind of like one.
Okay. One.
Yeah, Jamie? Not bad.
One. From Cole, Dynasty, 10-team league, two quarterbacks, half PPR, IDP. I'm rebuilding. I have 103 and 105. I think Jameson Williams will be available at 105, and I'd like to take Drake London at 103, but he might be taken at 102. Should I take Walker or try to trade out, maybe for a second rounder and a future first? What should he do? He's rebuilding. It's a PPR two quarterback league. It's half PPR, pardon me. 103 and 105.
I would probably take Garrett Wilson.
At three, I would take Burks if London's gone.
Over Wilson.
And then if you Wilson might be there at five, or Walker might be there at five.
So then, would you take JMO at three?
No, I wouldn't take Jameson over Garrett Wilson or Treylon Burks.
I think Jameson's got a chance to be the best receiver. Period.
Oh, I don't disagree, but I think they all have a shot. I mean, it's such a very even class for the most part. So you know, Jameson versus London versus Burks versus Wilson. I mean, they're mm-hmm. all kind of. You can see the path to greatness for all of them. You can see kind of a path to mediocrity for all of them. You know, so I think if you're sold on Jameson, then take him at five. But I would rather have Burks and Wilson personally.
But if you're sold on Williams, shouldn't you take him at three, and then you just take BPA at five?
Unless you think Williams is going five, we just haven't seen that based on how rookie drafts have gone. You know, so Williams is typically going after the top five guys.
All right, this is from Steve in Ontario. 12-team standard scoring keeper league. Two running backs, two receivers, and no flex. Oh, that's what they keep. That's what they keep. I don't know if that's their lineup. My current keepers are Lamar Jackson, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Mark Andrews, Nick Folk, because you have to keep a kicker, and the Miami or Denver DST.
What the hell?
You have to keep a defense, which, first of all, real quick, Miami or Denver?
Denver.
Denver.
I'm leaning towards Aaron Jones and Ezekiel Elliott as my running back keepers, but I also have Cam Akers. Would you keep Akers over Zeke?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Next email from Steven. Steven Cialaro. And that's how you pronounce it too. Cialaro. Dear Jimmy, Allen, Keenan, and Allen. What? I don't know. 10
Jimmy,
team.
Allen, Keenan, and Allen?
Jimmy, Allen, Keenan, and Allen.
I'm not sure who the Jimmy is.
Garoppolo?
So what would Garoppolo, Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, Allen Hearns?
Who
would
be
the
Allen.
Other Allen? Maybe Josh. No, but then he'd say Josh.
Maybe they're Wayans.
Like Allen. There's two Allen Wayans?
They're all Ivory.
Everybody
Wayans.
Loves that comedic genius Allen Wayans, but they don't know which one is which.
10-team keeper league PPR. Keep Najee Harris late in the second or James Conner early in the ninth.
Oh, I don't know if I can pass up the Conner value.
Yeah, Conner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's do a little Google here. Jimmy, Allen, Keenan, and Allen.
Yeah, good luck.
I don't have anything. Okay, musicians? Let's see. What do we got? Musicians?
Jimmy Page, I don't know.
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Buffett.
Alan Parsons.
But isn't that Alan with A's?
I have no A-L-L-A-N. Idea. I have no idea. All right, I got a couple Apple Podcast questions to read. Let's do it. This is from Max. Both of my big leagues have starting roster setups.
How about, hold on. Jaguars receivers.
Ooh.
Jimmy Smith, Keenan McCardell, yeah. Allen Robinson, yes. Allen Hurns.
Way to go. All right. Here's a question from Max. Both of my big leagues have starting roster setups of one running back, one wide receiver, and four flexes. Would this setup change cool. the way you construct your roster?
Yes. You don't have to go as heavy on running backs or prioritize tight end.
Right. He says he takes one entire backfield and stockpiles various wide receivers.
I don't hate that.
All right, interesting. All right, this is from Craig in Zanesville. Grade my 2022 Dynasty rookie trades and picks. I don't think I can express to you how much reading there is in this one, so let's see if I can shorten it. I'm in complete rebuild. I have 4 second-round picks, 4 third-round picks in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. I traded 2 second-rounders for the 8th overall pick where I stole Garrett Wilson. And I traded 2.9 and a late first-rounder in 2023. And I took Sky Moore and Jahan Dotson. And then I traded back up into the 2nd round to get George Pickens. I was able to get Brian Robinson and Jalen Tolbert in the 3rd. He did pretty well. Wow. He also has Romeo Dubs, Calvin Austin.
This is made up.
Did I do the right thing going heavy on wide receivers to kickstart my rebuild?
Yes. That's the position to start.
I'm sorry to sum it up with such a succinct answer, but yeah, you did make the right decision.
Good job.
They made this up. There's no way that happened.
Garrett Wilson, 8th, is that what he said?
Yeah, 108.
Pretty good. Okay, so now I'm going to see if I have any tweets, because I sent this tweet out just before the show. I have 3. Let's see what they say.
Did you watch those? Do you have any YouTube comments? We can't.
Yeah, we'll get YouTube comments right after the tweets.
Okay.
I have 1 episode of Ozark left. I watched this penultimate one. Yeah.
You couldn't stay awake for another hour.
It was like for Obi-Wan.
12:15 a.m. at that point. I decided, no,
it's tomorrow. It better be good.
Okay, Brad comes out. Brad comes out with this question here.
Brad.
Grade the trade in Dynasty. I send Jonathan Taylor, Kadarius Toney, and Michael Carter. Jonathan Taylor, Kadarius Toney, and Michael Carter. I get Christian McCaffrey, Jerry Jeudy, and Garrett Wilson.
Hey.
I think I like it for you.
Okay. You do give up Taylor, but you get a lot back.
If McCaffrey's healthy, you win this trade by a mile.
Yeah, exactly.
From Jesse, for your best shape in his life segment, is there a player that comes to mind whose stock would instantly shoot up draft boards if he were labeled as in the best shape of his life?
Shot up draft boards because of it?
No. Okay, this is from Bango.
Trent Richardson.
Would you trade a 2023 first-round pick for Derrick Henry with this lineup in a 12-team Dynasty Superflex? So basically, you know, are you one piece away? He's got Jalen Hurts and Derek Carr. He has Jonathan Taylor, Ezekiel Elliott, Waddle, Deontay Johnson, Michael Pittman, Dawson Knox, A.J. Dillon, Gabriel Davis. Very good. See, on the bench, we've got, what's the bench? Nyheim Hines, Devin Singletary, Kenneth Gainwell.
No.
I think he's good.
But the thing about it is, like, you're trying to obviously acquire another superstar. I get it. It's not a bad move. But your team is probably good enough to win right now with whatever you're going to supplement. Like, this is the type of trade. The type of trade that you should be making is, like, how do you acquire another player that is an injury away from being a superstar for your team without mortgaging the future? Like, you don't need to give away a 2023 first round pick, because what if all these guys, you know, not all these, but a good portion of these guys get hurt and you end up picking in the top half of 2023 and all of this talent that's coming into this class next year, you're missing out on because you got Derrick Henry and things didn't work out well for you. Like, I don't know if I want to acquire a 29-year-old running back as good as he's going to be when you already have such a stacked roster in place. Like, I would be trying just to like go get a Melvin Gordon cheap, or
he's already got Zeke.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, get somebody that just, you know, you can backfill if you need to, as opposed to, like you said, replacing Ezekiel Elliott.
Is he looking at the wrong position? Should he give up the 1 for Mark Andrews?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because he has Dawson Knox.
Right.
What is this?
That's where I would go. I don't know what the shape of the team that has Kelce and Andrews is in. And okay. I don't know if Waller's the right move to make for a 1. I don't know if Kelce's the right move to make for a 1. I guess if you're going for it, then the answer is yeah. But that's the position that I would try and upgrade. The only other thing I can think of is, can you take some of your draft picks with Zeke to get 1 decent draft pick next year and then flip your first next year for Derrick Henry? And so then you upgrade at the running back position. You don't have a first next year, but at least you traded Zeke for something. Maybe it's a 2 next year that can help you replenish that in next year's draft.
I just saw a very funny headline from NBC Sports Edge. It was a tweet headline, I guess. Trey Lance's finger is in the best shape of his life. Trey Lance told reporters that he dealt with a right index finger injury throughout the 2021 season. Quote, I'm in a great spot health-wise, throwing the ball well, feeling really good. So that is pretty funny.
Cool.
Okay.
Great. He makes the list. He's been at practice.
Yeah, right. Thank you to people for tweeting me these things. It's actually very funny and I enjoy it. Time for our YouTube comments. Here we go. Okay.
You know who could benefit from being in the best shape of his life right now is Treylon Burks. We talked about that on Wednesday.
Yes, that's a good call.
I'd like that. I don't think he'll shoot up rankings. I think he'll just...
He's out of shape?
Feel better. Yeah, they're apparently.
Yeah.
Because I think too much was made of him not being able to finish practice.
Well, usually if you're in shape, you can finish a practice.
Well, they practice indoors. So this was a new experience for him.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Desmond Ridder in Atlanta? I have zero faith in Mariota, and I think the kid is good. It's from Jim.
I think they'll put him in as soon as they think he's ready for similar reasons to why you have no faith in Mariota. And it could happen. If he comes to camp and he's prepared and he's playing as well as Mariota in these scrimmages that they have and in preseason games, it could be a week one thing. The problem is that I don't know how much better of a passer he is than, you know, standard NFL quarterback at this point. I don't think he's necessarily going to upgrade the Atlanta passing game.
Okay. Question from Jake. I have Josh Allen and Joe Burrow in a 1QB dynasty league. What could I look in return for Burrow? I also have Juju. I'm looking to pair with him in a trade. So he needs running backs, Burrow and Juju for... Would you do that for Derrick Henry?
No, I don't think so. I view quarterbacks...
Would I trade Juju for Derrick Henry?
No, Joe Burrow and Juju for Henry.
In a 1QB dynasty league? Yeah. Yes, I would trade Joe Burrow for Derrick Henry.
When you already have Josh Allen.
100%.
I view quarterbacks a little bit differently. I think that they're just simple, long-term, set-and-forget staples.
And he has that in Josh Allen.
They are, but he has two. That's the thing.
But he's got two. Why should he give one away just because he's got the other?
Because he's getting a superstar in return that's going to help
for
him.
For a year or maybe two.
I don't care. You're never going to play Joe Burrow if Josh Allen's healthy.
You should ask for more than that for Derrick Henry.
I don't know.
Or for Burrow.
Okay. Well, what would you ask for then? Burrow. So it's Burrow and Juju. Give me a running back.
For Burrow and a one
Taylor's too much. Breece Hall is not going to happen. Javonte probably not going to happen.
I think
this might be a me thing. Just
if you're content with Juju, you're looking at, you know, depending on what the manager is, like a disgruntled Saquon Barkley manager, you know, and you might have to put something else with Burrow. But if you're just talking about something to supplement your roster, you know, you look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you look at Miles Sanders, you look at the guys that have obvious bounce back potential, but, you know, clearly coming off some down seasons.
Yeah. Okay.
Or Dylan or Pollard, those type of guys.
Okay. This is from Brian. I have Akers, Chubb, Najee Harris, AJ Dillon, JJ, and Andrews. Who's JJ?
Justin Jefferson.
Oh. Keep four. I've never
could be JJ Taylor.
Once heard anybody call him JJ. That was Julio Jones. Akers, Chubb, Najee Harris, Dylan, JJ, and Andrews. Keep four.
Jefferson, Chubb, Harris, and Andrews.
I like it.
And let's put PPR, by the way. From Brandon, I get to keep Cup in the fourth round. Should I take Jefferson with the first pick?
Yes.
Yeah, assuming that there isn't a running back that's, you know, locked in. Yeah, sure.
Again, when you do these things, these type of moves, and you're in keeper league, you got to remember there's running backs that are going to be gone. So you're leaving yourself thin at that spot.
It's also half PPR, so I don't know that I like it as much, but.
Yeah, I'd like to know what running backs might be available with your pick.
Don't lock yourself into Jefferson, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Okay. Oh, Michael Strachan. Is that pronounced?
Strawn.
Strawn. Oh, that's right. Sorry. 16-team Dynasty PPR, start four pass catchers. What do you think about him?
I think he's got a battle to make the roster this year.
Yep.
I see the talent for sure, but I think he's you know, unique body, very tall, very fast.
If you're looking for like flyers in this type of leagues, like – We talked about this with the Packers guys, like, you know, see if Randall Cobb is somebody like that is available. A couple of guys that could be of interest just because of the situation right now. Tylan Wallace and James Prochet in Baltimore. You know,
not DuVernay?
Huh?
Not Devin DuVernay?
Could be Devin DuVernay. I've heard that they really like Tylan Wallace a lot, just based on what his role could be. So, you know, if he's available, go take a look at him.
Gosh, I mean, Michael Strawn's name is, it's almost, it's one letter away from being Michael Strahan. Just drop the C.
Wouldn't it be two letters?
No, because the guy on YouTube misspelled it. So it's Michael Strahan with a C before the H in Strahan.
But it's not pronounced Strahan or Strachan.
but his name is Michael Strahan. I mean, come on. All right, last question here. Keep one, full PPR. Burrow, Eli Mitchell, Jerry Jeudy, Russell Wilson, or Hunter Renfrow?
Jeudy.
I think it's probably Jeudy.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend, an awesome Memorial Day, and we will talk to you on Tuesday, Bold Predictions Week, beginning on Tuesday. We'll talk to you then. Thanks again. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.